Some of the other characteristics of services which probably we have not covered there are no ownership, the simultaneity part of it, the quality measurement, and the nature of demand. When I say no ownership, we are talking about the best examples in terms of hotel, wherein probably the room is, you consume the services provided in a room, but you are not the owner of the room in a hotel. So that becomes a characteristics of a service, that most of the services are like that, that you are consuming the services without becoming the owner of the services. But in the physical domain or the physical good industry, you also become owner of the product. Here you may not be the owner of the product, but you still consume the service, you consume the product without becoming the owner of the product. And this is one of the characteristics of the services. Second is the area where you have to be produced or you have to be there, like the service provided by a dentist. So customer is a part of production, means simultaneously the service is being produced and consumed. Third is where you talk about quality measurement is difficult, means probably it is on your mood, it is on the mood of the customer, and it is on the mood of the service provider. So best example here is a waiter serving the customer. So if the customer is happy, he would perceive that the services provided by the waiter is good, the quality parameters are good. But if the customer is really in a bad mood, irrespective of all the best efforts by the waiters, probably there can be a remark by the customer that the service expectation or the perception of he receiving the services may not be great. So these are some of the other characteristics. And last is the nature of demand, which we have discussed, that nature of demand in the service domain is very, very unpredictable, and therefore managing the service demand patterns or forecasting the service is very, very challenging. So these were some of the other characteristics which I thought I would like to share with you, so that you will have a better scope in understanding the service characteristics. Some of the classification of the services is based on the service process. We have discussed the other classification in terms of distributiveness or in terms of production or social or the personal. This classification is purely based on the service processes. So there are around 15 classifications here. The first one is the degree of tangibility, which Lovelock and others have described nicely, that the degree of tangibility varies. We have also seen, like right from the sugar example or the education sector example, that there is a lot of variation when you talk about the tangibility, and therefore you will have to decide whether you fall under the category of a pure service or a mixed service or a service wherein there is a large component of the physical product. So based on the category of the service or based on the degree of tangibility, services can be classified. Second category is the skill of the service provider. Now there is a large variation when you talk about skill of the service provider. So what is the category or what is the quality of service which you wish to use or consume, and what is the quality of skill set we are looking for it for? Like when you talk about, say, simplest example is the airline industry, where you say the economy class services could be little different than the business class services in the same area. So the services for a business classified, business class will be different, and services in an economy class will be different, and skill set required probably of the air hostess could also be little different. So that is where we talk about another classification. Goals of the service provider is the third parameter which is important. So what is the goal which the service provider has set for himself in terms of service, in terms of social, in terms of profitability, in terms of capacity utilization, in terms of a lot of other parameters of business. So what is the goal service provider has set himself, and thereby he has classified the services. Degree of regulation comes from the government, that how much the services are regulated, what is the kind of regulation, how strong or how difficult or how are the norms of regulator in terms of regulating the service, and thereby what could be the degree of regulation which is there on the service provider. Degree of labor intensiveness is another area wherein some of the services are very high in terms of labor intensiveness, some of the services could be low when you talk about the labor consumption or labor being a part of the service delivery mechanism. So based on that, this classification has been made. Place and time of classification is another parameter where services have been classified. Extent of customization. So there are some of the services which are purely customized or very high on customization. Means some of the service providers only work on customized services. Some of the service providers only work on very, very standard services. So these services are classified based on the customization pattern. Demand and supply is another parameter which can classify the services. Some of the services, in terms of say education services and some of the other services, demand patterns can be still uniform and the capacity of the service provider can be utilized. But in some of the areas, you know, where the uncertainty or the business environment or the economy plays an important role, this demand supply chain or supply becomes an important classification. One has to be very clear that under what kind of demand pattern the service falls, which will help the service provider to get into the design or the, you know, business models. Facility is the equipment, the layout, the type of people can be one of the criteria for classifying the services. Degree of discretion is another, that how much discrete my services will be or to what extent I'll be discreting the system is another parameter when talk about classification. Value addition, product and processes, utility creation, the perspective, market segmentation, degree of customer contact. These are some of the other parameters which probably we'll discuss in other chapters to come, are also part of classification of the services. The other important element when you talk about this classification is the service as a process. Now, it is important to understand that how this service is also a part of the process and how this processes can differ and how this can help you understand the service classification little more in deep. So one is the people processing, the second is mental stimulus, the third is information processing, and fourth is possession processing. I'll get you into little more details about this service process. So service as a process, when you talk about the people process, we are talking about services are directly towards the body of the customer. So customers are directly involved during the process of manufacturing of the services. The best of the examples could be your haircut, your surgery, or all those examples where customer's body or body parts are important in the manufacturing process or in the service delivery process. Next is the possession processing, wherein services are directed towards goods owned by the customer. So customers are owning some of the physical goods and services are directed towards those goods. So this is where the possession is of the customer, but the services is delivered to the goods owned by the customer. Mental stimulus is another service process where we talk about these actions or the actions of the service provider. This is directed towards the mind of the customer. So customer's mental presence is very important when we talk about this service. So customer's physical presence may not be that important. The best example is our online education system. When we talk about our online education system, probably wherever you are physically, probably you can be in Indore, you can be in Delhi, you can be in Gwalior. So your physical presence is not important, but when you are understanding the subject, your mental presence is very important. So your mental or these services are stimulating your mental status or your mental or your brain so that you understand the subject better. So this is one mechanism of service delivery or one process of service delivery mechanism which will help you to understand or which will create a direct impact on your brain or on the mental system, may not be on your other part of the body. Means your physical presence is not important. Next is information processing service as a part of the process, wherein service actions is on the data or the information captured. So it could be in the form of banking service, it could be in the form of research, it could be in the form of data management services. So a lot of services which are purely used by the technology or by the financial domain system. No, so these are largely the four service processes which we have discussed right now. We'll be moving towards the challenges which are confronted, which are faced by the service sectors And these are again important for you to understand, because if you become or if you start your own business in terms of service, you will have to focus on these factors, because in India these are some of the limitations when you talk about the infrastructure, in terms of technology, in terms of the employee quality or the employee attitude, in terms of services, the consumer himself, the competition and the suppliers. I'll throw some more light on all these parameters in the coming slides. So when we talk about the infrastructure, you will definitely see that people are moving towards the urban system. The only factor which helps people move is the infrastructure of the urban facilities. Cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, why people are moving is not because they love the name of the city, but I'm sure the infrastructure availability in these metros is much, much better, and therefore the earning potential in these cities is higher, and therefore people come to these cities to live in and a reasonable quality of life. So actually, growth of any system rides on a good infrastructure. If the infrastructure is good, the growth is going to be high. In terms of IT, you will all agree that IT has also grown only because of the great infrastructures available in these cities. So enablement of growth means infrastructure is one of the important enabler of growth, and therefore this infrastructure also becomes a challenge when it is not in sufficient quantity or if it is not up to the quality. So there is a need to develop road transport. There is a need to develop our railway system. There is a need to develop a lot of transport mechanism, our supply chain mechanism, if we wish to deliver better services. And this, therefore, this becomes a big hurdle in terms of growth of the services. The developed countries or the people from the developed countries would love to consume the services of our country. And there is a need to create world-class infrastructure to match the demands of the global economy. When we talk about technology, technology has changed the nature of business. We all have heard about Flipkart, we have heard about Amazon, we have heard about eBay, we have heard about IRCTC when we talk about our railway reservation system. E-commerce is the method of doing business today. A lot of banks like ICICI Bank, could be HDFC Bank, could be Axis Bank, and or any of the multinational banks, they are all talking about online banking, they are all talking about mobile banking. So technology is playing a very, very important role. You will all agree that the method of buying tickets have totally changed. We don't go to windows anymore or railway counters anymore. We normally buy our tickets or we normally book our tickets online. So technology is an important player, but the spread of technology, when we talk about consumption of technology, is still in the hands of few. So if we wish to spread the service domain, if we wish to spread the services to masses, the technology has to reach in every hand, and that is one of the challenges when you talk about technology as one of the challenges. Employee is another large or one of the biggest challenges, because availability of the right skill set for the business, especially in terms of retail, in terms of ITS, which is IT enabled services, these sectors of the services require special skills, and only these skills, are right skills, are available, probably delivery of the services becomes more of standard pattern. The third important parameter which is a concern is retaining good employee is one of the biggest challenges when this which this service industry is facing. Attitude of the service provider is another important parameter, because everybody doesn't have the attitude to serve somebody else. And if you do not have that kind of attitude, and if you are in the service industry, that is, you become a big hurdle in terms of service providing. When we talk about some of the challenges in the employee domain, again is, or the recruitment is, how to recruit the right talent is a challenge. There are a lot of models in terms of recruitment. HR or human resource management system has developed a lot of models, and technology is being used now to recruit right people, but still, when we say, is the recruitment or the method of recruitment is the best method, it is still a question mark. And especially in terms of understanding the attitude of an employee towards service, it's still a challenge. second I have already shared with you is how to retain good people is, you know, because money alone cannot retain people. The environment, the happiness, the overall pressure on the job, a lot of parameters are there which can off balance an employee and he leaves the organization. So you never know why and how to retain somebody. So this is also a challenge. How to imbibe right competencies for a right business is a challenge. It was a challenge and it continues to be a challenge. What interventions are required at educational levels, or what best practices to be used for benchmarking are some of the other challenges when you talk about employee related challenges. Consumer challenge is another challenge which is very, very important, and many of the research, or most of the research, is being done in understanding the consumer behavior and the consumer buying patterns. Consumers are fast changing. Customers yesterday are changed today. So today the behavior of the customer is different. When we talk about his awareness level, when we talk about his he's highly informed because of the information, he's highly informed because of this Google, he's highly informed because of this WhatsApp or Facebook. So his information or his awareness levels are pretty high, and therefore when his awareness levels are pretty high, his expectations are very high. The other important element with the consumers is today consumers love to experiment. He loves to face challenges. So earlier when we say customer used to buy something from somebody because he never wanted to experiment, but today the set of customers which are the young customers or the generation Y customers, these all would love to experiment, and when they love to experiment, they throw new challenges to the service provider. So that is one of the challenges coming in from the customers. Customers are, when we talk about the benchmark which are talking about, which in terms of service process, customers are moving across the globe and they are expecting the same standards in the country like India. So benchmarks have to be of international standards, and customers expectations are like that, and therefore service providers will have to create new benchmarks for themselves in terms of fulfilling the expectations of the customer. The last parameter which is important is the consumer codes, which are becoming a little more stronger than yesterday, and with the upcoming laws and regulations coming in, the expectations of the customers are high, and therefore service provider will have to deliver better services, keeping in mind all the legal aspects and regulation aspects of the services. Competition is another important parameter when we'll have to keep in mind when we talk about the challenges here. Competition is ever growing. Competitors are innovating continuously. Sustainability is becoming a challenge because the expectations are changing. The delivery mechanisms are changing. So sustainability of business is challenging. The cost of reducing the business means cost of reducing the operations, the cost of leaning the operation or the cost of running the business has to be under control, which is continuously increasing with the services. Because the moment you want to use technology, you are increasing your cost. The moment you want to bring in good talent or the right talent, your cost increases. But the competition is coming in and putting a lot of pressure on you. Therefore, you have to continuously reduce your cost of operations. If you have to, you will have to trade off somewhere between the quality and the cost here. So that is another challenge when you talk about competition. So these are some of the challenges which we have discussed right now. The last but not the least is the supplier, which is so important. We have seen a lot of fast food restaurants in terms of Subways, in terms of McDonald's, in terms of KFCs and all. There, the entire business model, if you really see, thrives on the suppliers and the supply chain. The outlets are definitely important, and customer consume their services or the product at the outlets, but their backbone is always the supplier. So how suppliers are going to impact the business? Should organizations have exclusive suppliers, or they need to have multiple suppliers? Or what is the mechanism of relationship management with the supplier is going to play important role in the service domain business. Some of the critical factors which we need to keep in mind when you talk about service is the focus on customers. Customer focus is very, very important. Customer centricity is very important, and understanding customer and trying to understand that why customers are buying products is going to be extremely important. Means in terms of services, focus on customer is going to be one of the most critical element of the business. Caring for employees is second most important, because as per the service value chain model or service creation model or service value creation model, we have seen that, or we'll see tomorrow, that employees who are happy are in a position to create happiness with the customer. So caring your employees is going to be next important business or next important critical factor for success of a service business. Identification of value drivers is another important driver, which is going to be very, very critical, because value which were important yesterday may not be important today, because value is evolving every day. Customer probably would have seen some value yesterday in a service provider, and today they may not see the same value being important today, because that value may be an absolute value or may not be of any value today. So customers are looking for new values, and service provider will have to innovate, will have to experiment, will have to do a lot of research with the customers to see that what is that value which is so important for the customer, and what is that value which drives the customers to consume his services. So that value creation and value understanding is going to be very, very critical. Developing technology to a firm's advantage. We will see in one of the chapters in terms of technology management in services that how technology has a big impact, but use of right technology, keeping in mind your process, is going to be important, because you cannot use technology just for the sake of using technology, but the technology has to be used keeping in mind that how this is going to be playing a role for creating advantage towards the services and the advantage for the firm, and how the firm is going to benefit after the use of this technology. Demand management, as I have shared with you, is going to be of crucial importance, because unless and until service providers are in a position to understand their demand patterns, they will never know their capacity utilization. So capacity and demand management is the most important parameter in running a successful business. So only service providers who will understand the demand management or demand forecasting systems will be in a position to optimize their businesses, will be in a position to use their businesses to the optimal productivity point of view, and thereby creating the profitability for the business is going to be very, very important. Adequate systems. I will not say that you need to have all the best of the systems. I will not say you need to have very poor systems. You will need to have just right systems for the right customer, because anything which you are doing could be into the bracket of overdoing sometimes. So if you overdo with the customers, they may not like it. If you do something which is below the expectation of the customer, they may not like it. You will have to do something which is just right. Just right is the right word when you talk about adequate system. So customers will love which is just appropriate for them. So if a customer is little hungry, you cannot provide him a full plate. And if a customer is very hungry, you cannot provide him just soup. So you will have to see what is right appetite of the customer and provide him the right service. We have discussed enough in terms of so many parameters. So I'm just trying to summarize in terms of how this service classification and service characteristics is going to be of importance to the service provider. This classification and characteristics understanding will help you to understand customers better. It will also help you to understand buyer behavior, or the customer's buyer behavior, or the customer's service consumption behavior. It will give you some insights in terms of innovation, in terms of the gaps, in terms of customer perception, in terms of customer understanding. So all this classification will give you, or this characterization will help you to understand the customer a little more better. It will also help you to formulate strategies for the future. So if you wish to acquire new customers, if you have to have more relationship with the customers, what all you will have to do so that your business is more profitable, this classification will help you to formulate better strategies. It will also help you to create a checklist which will enable you to understand or measure your quality performance or quality parameters. It will also help you to create new service dimensions, which can help you, as a service provider, to acquire more customers, to satisfy more customers. It will help you to determine your area of excellence. Because finally, when we talk about service business, there has to be something where you excel. So you may not be in a position to excel in everything. So what is that area? What is that criteria which is so important? Based on that important criteria, your business thrives. Like in terms of, say, Domino's, you see that their pizzas could be good, but they thrive on operational excellence in terms of delivery. So they say that we will deliver your pizza in half an hour time. And if you fail, probably we'll give you one more pizza. So one pizza comes to you free if you fail on our operations. So they are talking about excellence in operations. They are talking about excellence in delivery mechanism. And therefore, they have identified that they wish to serve the customer in time. So time as a factor, or flexibility as a factor, or a speed as a factor is important when you talk about their service classification or their service. The other important parameter is the strategic gaps. So, in terms of service, there are a lot of gaps in terms of quality. So, once you have identified this service characteristics, once you have understood this classification of service, you will be in a position to better understand the service gaps or the strategic gaps which are there with you. So, this will help you to design your service models much better. I am sure I have covered most of the parameters when we talk about the service characteristics or service classifications. This will help you to largely design the service gaps, design the strategies for your future business, design the strategies to acquire more customer, which will also help you to have more customer-centric designs for your businesses. I think this is enough when we talk about classification and characteristics. We'll take about the utilities of services in the next chapter, about how the services are going to help the service manufacturing or the other systems in terms of delivery of their services. Thank you very much.